Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Hepler. For some reason, I had mountain lions on my mind, but we'll get there, right? So, on page 11 in your Commission booklet would be the finalization to address and discuss your proposal in regards to rules related towards transportation and carcass disposal regulations, with the ultimate goal here to try to reduce any potential spread from the artificial standpoint of transporting and the improper disposal of carcasses and carcass remains from deer or elk harvested within our known endemic areas. Just to back up, if I can, I just want to talk a little bit about the public outreach that we again did on the proposal. A direct email working with our communication staff was sent out to nearly 80,000 resident and non-resident deer and elk applicants. Letters and a copy of the proposal were sent directly to all 200 and some permitted taxidermists that the department licenses, to around 100 game processors, to the 25 permitted landfills within South Dakota that are permitted by the South Dakota Department of Environment and Natural Resources to accept carcass remains. And we sent a letter and a copy of the proposal to around 115 waste management provider businesses within the state. We know that those landfills and those garbage haulers that provide that service are going to be an integral part of the implementation of such rules if we move forward. Also shared that with our CWD stakeholder work group. I presented the topic of CWD and the Commission's proposal at a multi-state solid waste convention up in Bismarck, North Dakota. Had some interesting discussion there with a group of professionals that I'm not familiar with and was honestly a little uncomfortable, but we had some really good discussions and it was, I felt, worth our time being there. So, and as of yesterday, we had about 18 official public comments, which I believe all of you have seen. Again, the justification for these proposed rules is to reduce the spread of CWD via artificial movement of carcass parts from our known endemic areas to other parts of the state where we currently know that we do not have CWD. Again, these are things that we can do proactively. There's nothing we can do in regards to the natural movement, distribution of deer and elk, or the other natural movements of potentially infected parts from predators or other natural processes such as that. So just to go over the proposal here that we have in front of us today, we worked with you to define those deer and elk hunting units that would essentially fall within the category of our known endemic area and where such transportation and disposal rules would apply. We felt that was important to have in rules so our law enforcement staff would have the ability to, I'm not saying we're going to start out writing citations. This is going to be a work in progress. We want to educate our hunters and the public, but at some point in time, citations will likely have to be issued once we get through this process and start working towards trying to work with our public on this, and this would allow that to happen and allow us to develop maps and provide that information and education to those hunters. So not only would hunters that have licenses specific for those units listed for you there under number one for those firearm licenses, but it would also apply to those at archery, muzzleloader, youth or apprentice hunt within those units, and for those that have owned land licenses. Okay. Number two there is where we talk about the carcass disposal, and we have rules listed underneath there for A as a hunter, B as a wildlife processing facility, and three as a taxidermist. Okay, these are the three predominant locations that a harvested animal is going to ultimately be taken to be processed either for taxidermy work or for consumptive use for the venison. So I don't know if we need to dive into these word for word, but it would be for those three categories. Number three talks about the intrastate carcass transportation movement within South Dakota. And number four is the interstate transportation, which would be animals harvested from another state coming back into South Dakota. So one thing that I want to reiterate about number three and four, the transportation, this rule essentially does nothing really in regards to transportation. It essentially ties everything back to the disposal, okay? So we are allowing a carcass allowance or carcass part allowance to come out of our known endemic areas or from any other state back into South Dakota, as long as those carcass remains are disposed of in a permitted landfill that we will list and provide that information to our hunters, or are put in the dumpster that is provided by your waste management provider that ultimately takes those carcass remains to a permitted landfill. So when those carcass remains are taken to a landfill, is that prion dissolved and away from the environment? Absolutely not. The intent there is to try to minimize the number of locations that those carcass remains are being disposed of on our landscape. So if we can limit those to 24 or 25 sites versus up to thousands of sites, that's a huge deal when it's coming to try to minimize the spread from that artificial movement from the hunter. We know there is the likelihood and the potential for that prion to get into the environment, into the soil, being uptaken by some plants, and we know deer and elk are grazers. So, Mr. Chair, if you turn to page 11A, the only recommended change we have to your proposal here is to add Black Hills Elk Unit 1 to the list of elk hunting units within our known CWD endemic area. We have updated and provided some different maps there on page 11 to try to more clearly define where those hunting units would fall within the known endemic area, and these rules would apply. We have lots of work to do when it comes to whatever is decided here today. We have lots of work to continue to do in regards to informing our hunters, our processors, taxidermists, a lot of members of our public in regards to CWD and how we can best, whether it's by rules that you promulgate here today or through best management practices, there's a lot of things we have yet to do. We have made great progress, and I look forward to any questions, comments, or conversations here today.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, looking at this whole CWD process, number one, I want to thank Chad for all the work that he's done on this. He has been our department leader and having all the conversations and discussions with the public, and he's done a great job pulling this together. One important piece to remind you of that's right at the top under your proposal, should you adopt these rules, these will be going into effect for 2020 hunting season. So, you know, moving forward with this, we're going to ask the hunters this coming year to comply with these regulations, to start getting in that mode of being into what these regulations would be should you move forward passing these. The other key point to all of these rules is that I think it's important to remember, when we started the discussion, brought forward the first recommendations, they were much, much more restrictive. And through discussions and public input, there were adjustments and modifications made to this to try to address a lot of those concerns that were brought forward from the public, but yet really try to focus on addressing and minimizing the spread through the disposal aspect of it. So what Chad described here, you know, this is a little bit different. This is going a little bit the different direction what we initially started, but it's really trying to address some of those concerns brought forward by the public, but still trying to manage CWD in South Dakota. So just wanted to share a couple of those quick thoughts with you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. So we need a motion to amend the proposal to add BHE-H1 to the elk hunting units within the known endemic area, right?
Correct.
Somebody want to make that motion?
So moved. Second.
Any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So then we need a motion to approve the proposal as amended.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion on the proposal? A lot of work has gone into it, and thank you very much. And Commissioner Locken was involved, I know, and spent a bunch of time too. Thank you, John. And any discussion, questions, comments? Mr. Whitmire.
Commissioner Whitmire, just for clarification, also the intent next year for the 2020 tags is that there will be some kind of indicator on the tag. So it was recognized that this animal came from an endemic area.
Through the chair, Commissioner Whitmire, absolutely. We have had some of those discussions with our licensing office, and I'm not exactly sure what that's going to look like, if it's going to be a blaze orange tag with CWD endemic area on it or whatnot, but we will have those discussions and ensure that those animals are marked appropriately. So our law enforcement officers can provide some education if that is needed at the time, and to assist our taxidermists and processors in identifying, hey, this animal has a unique identifier on it, and we know we have special disposal requirements and some other considerations regarding that particular carcass.
Any other questions, comments, discussion? If not, all in favor of the proposal, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes.
Okay.
Thanks for your good work.
Thank you. And had a lot of staff assist with this effort, and I want to acknowledge them here at the mic. A lot of help with this, and Commissioner Locken, appreciate your help. We will go back and make the appropriate adjustments to the action plan just to address what was adopted here today and get that updated and posted to our website as soon as possible. So thank you.
Thank you. All right, so we go to trapping regulation proposal, which is number 12.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, Keith Fisk is coming up to take the lead on this. I just want to bring to your attention one more item as we're going through all of these finalizations. You remember last month at the commission meeting, you as a commission body adopted a resolution to include the discussions about R3 as we go through action sheets on a monthly basis. And we went back, and you'll notice on every finalization sheet, you know, it has the proposal, it has supportive information, and then following that is a section specifically on resident, non-resident criteria, and if any of the rules that are under consideration are applicable to that discussion and criteria. And then following that is another section around R3, recruitment, retention, reactivation, and those criteria that you folks had talked about and adopted. So we have added those sections in every finalization and provide information, again, where and when applicable. So want you to be aware of that, number one. We can certainly talk about any of those pieces as we go through these, but in particular, moving into the future, in our attempt to get information to you sooner, you'll be able to see a lot of those explanations and information that goes with those two areas as we discuss rules, seasons, and other regulations going into the future.
Yeah, and that's very helpful. Could you give us just 30 seconds of R3 and what that is and what the point of it is?
Boy, you put me on the spot, huh? We should probably bring Heather Tanaya up here, but...
Start the timer.
Yeah. R3, recruitment, retention, and activation is all about keeping people engaged in outdoor recruitment, bringing them in, recruiting them into, and reactivating are those that participate at one time, have probably lapsed, have looked at other interests and activities to bring them back into the fold. And R3 is a priority across the country for all state wildlife agencies right now. As we know, there's different pressures, different activities, different things that people, both young, middle-aged, and young kids are getting involved with. And we continue to see this continued trends of decline of participation, whether it's hunting, fishing, trapping. We've talked about all those, and in some segments it's more precipitous than others. And so R3 is a national effort, all the way from the Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies, from a national level to regional levels to individual states, and then down even into sections within our own state agencies. So it's a concerted effort to continue to engage folks, get them engaged in outdoor recreation, get them back involved if they've lapsed or have gotten out of those activities, and then again, importantly, bring new folks into it. And there's a lot of work being done right now. We have a lot of discussions going on and trying to focus on all three areas of R3 and everything that we do in our agency, from license sales to just flat-out participation and various programs that are being talked about in our education department and staff is there. So a concerted effort. In the commission meeting this week, tomorrow you'll have an information on the dashboard that is a key part of R3 that's going to provide us some really good detailed information of who some of these people are and how we can use that information to go get them back engaged or to bring them more elevated into recreation as well. So a lot of different fronts being looked at and considered to handle and approach R3.
Thank you.
Yes.
Perfect. So we're on to trapping proposal.